The proper pronunciation of om begins at the back of the throat with the ah, and then the oo comes in the middle of the mouth, and the m comes through the lips. It is said by those who are expert in Sanskrit that the word om contains all the sounds of language. And so beginning way back at the back of the throat and ending at the lips, let us all chant. Properly chanted, the sound of om will give you peace, spiritual vibration, light. From Paramahansa Yogananda, entitled Peace. I obey thee in the temple of discipline. I love thee in the temple of devotion. I worship thee in the temple of love. I touch thy feet in the temple of stillness. I behold thine eyes in the temple of delight. I feel in the temple of emotion. I fight for thee in the temple of meditation. I enjoy thee in the temple of peace. Peace flows through my heart and blows through me as a zephyr. Peace fills me with fragrance. Peace runs through me like rays. Peace burns through my disquietude. Peace, like a golden fire, expands and fills my omnipresence. Peace, like an ocean, rolls in all space. Peace, like red blood, vitalizes the veins of my thoughts. Peace, like a boundless soil, encircles my body of infinity. Peace flames blow through the pores of my flesh and through all space. Peace perfume flows over the garden of blossoms. Peace wine runs perpetually through the wine press of all hearts. Peace is the breath of stones, stars, and sages. Peace is the ambrosial wine of spirit, flowing from the cask of silence, which I quaff with my countless mouths of atoms. How to contact God through meditation. Meditation is that specific form of concentration which is applied only in connection with consciously tuning in to cosmic consciousness, the home of cosmic supply. By this method, the proficient student can not only finally attain everything that the power of attention can and should accomplish, but also develop the power to control his destiny and prevent failure and disease. This method teaches one how to reinforce, revitalize, and strengthen the human faculty with the faculty of superconscious through faithful, persevering practice. Meditation is the pickaxe which opens up all the covers of consciousness and brings forth the fountain of God's ever new joy. Meditation is complete relaxation, the only way to know God. You can do everything else but meditate, and you will never find that joy which comes when the thoughts are silent. You may ask, How do I know there is such a joy as you describe? This is my testimony. If you practice this lesson every day, deeply and consistently, you will find that joy, ever existing, ever conscious, ever new, ever increasingly manifest within you. And with practice, it will stay with you in activity and in silence alike, even in sleep. It is a joy that will constantly guide you to right action in everything and will respond to your prayers. You have to demonstrate that for yourself. This again is my testimony, that having reached it, you will find every other desire for gain become small in comparison. Your consciousness will expand. You can stand unshaken amidst the pulverizing jars of trials. The whole world will not be able to lure you away to forsake that bliss. You will enjoy other things in that bliss. This is what Jesus experienced when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Before his joy in God, satanic desire for material desires fell dead. Completeness is by no means negation, but it is a positive attainment. Human life, however pleasant, is only a bubble of laughter, and in God it becomes the sea of mirth. Thou, O God, art the ocean, and I, a tiny bubble of laughter, have become the sea of mirth. You can find such joyous perception only by the right method of concentration and meditation. You could seek for years and years in the ceiling of your room for the door, but you will never find it until you use the right method and looked in the wall. When your prayers are right, they touch God, and then he sends a right vehicle through whom he teaches you and calls you to him. No man cometh unto the Father except by me, said Jesus. He is within. In meditation, the joy that comes is proof of existence of that ever-new joyous God. Since I learned this, oftentimes when sleep steals over me, I say, "Go away from me, you gross intoxicant. I do not want your unconsciousness, and lose this joy." Your whole body changes when you practice meditation frequently, because when you really contact God, all things become harmonious. All things melt into the ocean of peace. But you have to practice this lesson honestly, earnestly, consistently, and continually in order to have the full consciousness of that supreme force. I'd like to speak this evening on peace. What is it that is the nature of peace that Master is speaking of here? Sometimes what people think of as peace is merely a cessation of life, of pain, of difficulties. But this spiritual peace is a positive force in your life. It is a state of vibration that is as real as any experience that you might have in the world. You feel it within your body. You can feel it pervading the atmosphere in which you exist. Peace exists within you even in this moment. The problem is that we have turned our attention away from that vibration of peace onto the activities of this world and of this body. As a result, we have become exclusively focused upon the activity and have forgotten the underlying peace that always resides within us. To experience that peace, we have to let go of fear. When fear pervades us, fear and peace cannot coexist. It is only through letting go of fear. How is it that we let go of fear? Fear seems to be like a constant companion at times. We are afraid of what other people will think of us. We are afraid of being late. We are afraid of being early. We are afraid that we'll do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing. We are afraid of so many things, of this body failing, of pain, of death. Fear pervades those who are focused upon body consciousness. It disturbs the sense of peace that naturally exists within one and all. Only by the removal of fear, by refocusing the attention upon that inner state of peace, can we know that perpetual peace that is ever blooming within the heart of the soul. It seems that many times, as we progress upon the path, fears begin to multiply rather than go away. When we look for peace, when we want it, when we desire it above all things, the mind becomes restless. It dwells upon the possibility of what can go wrong, what might happen if we were to let go, if we were to surrender. The deeper we go into meditation, we uncover that source, that wellspring of peace residing within us. But we also begin to uncover those unconscious memories and thought patterns that bring up different issues of fear. I remember that years ago in my meditation, I had a vision where I was suddenly residing over the top of the city of Seattle, looking out over the water of Elliott Bay. And as I looked out there, I saw a missile come in at a very high speed, and suddenly, perhaps a mile or two over the city, it let out this explosion, and a mushroom cloud went up into the air, and I knew that some kind of nuclear bomb had gone off. The experience felt totally riveted me and felt completely real. So many thoughts went through. This was a child, something that had been given to me since a childhood, that missiles could come in, that atomic explosions could go off, that the world could be destroyed, cities could be destroyed. And so right within my living consciousness, this was occurring. And at first was the thought, would I survive? And then when I thought about the destruction of the city, pain and loss of life, suffering that might accrue to those who are burned and scorched in the process, I thought, did I want to survive? And so the various thoughts went through my mind, and the fears came up inside of me. What would I choose? What would I want? And then the vision left me, but the fears stayed with me. Through the months and through the years, at various times, this vision would come back to me spontaneously, just as real as before. But each time, my reaction was somewhat different. I began to think, well, if it is mine to survive, then I would want to be in a position to help others, if possible. And so then the thought, the fear left of me, whether I would survive or not, whether I'd die or not. If I were dead, my life would be over. And I knew that I would be in a safer, a better place. But if I survived, that is all right too, and particularly if I was able to help others. As the years went by, different variations of this reaction went on. Finally, the vision came one day, and I placed my consciousness within the bomb as it was going off. And I felt the power of that bomb. I felt the expansiveness of it. And I felt the power of expansive consciousness go off within me. And I felt myself to be one with the infinite spirit of which this bomb was a part of. And I felt myself to go out and out with the power of that bomb. I had no fear left in me in regards to this particular vision. It had taken me a long time to work through all the various fears. But having done that and lost my fear of it, the vision never returned to me again. Every one of us has our own fears based upon our own past and projections into the future. Those trigger points that exist within all of us, whether it is fear of suffering, fear of death, fear of pain, fear of loss, the fears reside within us as long as we are attached to this body and identified with it. Every sadhaka has to work through their fears. They come up. And so many people get lost upon the path because those fears start coming. And suddenly, perhaps in an almost unconscious way, it's easier to do anything but to meditate. Because within meditation, we face those fears. They come up the most powerfully then. And instead of getting that peace that we hope for within our spiritual practice, we're having to face some fears that come to us again and again. There were times when the fear came to me through these visions that it occurred to me that I could stop meditating, that it was difficult, that I didn't want to face those fears. But I also knew that there is no other way for me to get through, to move through that obstacle of fear unless I were to face it. So deep within us, we have to find that determination, that place. We are willing to move through whatever comes forward within our consciousness in order to achieve that state of peace, that vibration of joy, that light that resides within us. Every one of us have to face those obstacles. Every one of us have to move through them. And it is so easy to get sidetracked. It is so easy to put off meditating, going deeper, because that fear is not an easy thing. But if we find the courage, if we find the strength within ourselves, within our connection with God, to go beyond the fear, then we will enter into the peace. And that peace is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It goes beyond the mind. It goes beyond any particular reason why we might feel peaceful, because we can feel that peace even in the midst of activity, even when our body may be in pain, even when we are in a difficult situation. There is an underlying vibration of peace that never leaves us. This is the quality of the true self that resides within us. Fire cannot burn it. Flood cannot drown it. Nothing on the outside can touch it. Only if we remove our attention from it and become absorbed in the outer events, either good or bad, that are happening within our life. To make God first and to have no graven images before Him means that we put that connection that is within us, where we feel God first in our minds. No graven images means nothing within the mind, no image of the past or the future, will we sacrifice in order to leave that place of connection with the divine, that presence that exists within us. When we enter into the world and there are demands on us, somebody gives us a call, somebody else wants something from us, somebody else asks us why something is late, where were we, why were we not there in the way they wanted us to, it is so easy to shift our attention and become completely focused on the outside world, leaving that temple of peace that's within us. But if we practice putting God first, before anyone or anything else, then we will reside in that state of peace. When we put God first, we put peace first. And there's a part of our ego that cries out, but what about the world? Who will take care of it? Who will worry about it? If I don't worry about it. And the fact is that the world takes care of itself very nicely. Thank you very much. It doesn't need us to be there in that worrying kind of way. Swami Satchidananda told the story of a young soldier who was placed out on night watch. And of course, within soldiering, watch is very important. If some enemy were to sneak up on you, they might kill you, they might kill your friends, you will have failed in your duty. And so it's very important that you stay awake and you stay at your post. This young man one time saw a group going by chanting the name of Hari, the name of Krishna. Suddenly he couldn't contain himself. And he went down and he started joining in this kirtan. And he got so inebriated with the name of God that he completely forgot about all of his military duties. And so when the sun rose the next morning, he went back to his post and he was replaced by the next fellow. Being an honest person, he went to the captain of the post and he told him what he had done. He said, "Soldier, this is a very serious incursion. But I admire you for your frankness and your honesty." He said, "Do not ever let it happen again." He says, "If it does, I'll put you in the stockade and you'll stay the rest of your life there. It's serious." The next night, the young soldier saw the same kirtan party go by. Again, he was so drawn to them that he left his post and he went and joined them. Now, the captain of the post was curious about this young man and whether he would stay at his post or not. And so he came late at night, and when he did so, he saw the young man standing there at his post as he is supposed to be. Meanwhile, the young man was down at the kirtan party, chanting God's name and feeling so intoxicated with his presence, with the love of God, and desire and aspiration for realization, to have that presence with him always. And so as the sun went, the kirtan party went on its way. He went back to its post, and again, being an honest person, he went back, fully expecting that he would be put into the stockade for the rest of his life. He told the captain that again, he had abandoned his post. The captain said, "That's not possible. When I went to check in on you at your post, there you were, standing guard. I saw you with my own eyes in full moonlight. You cannot tell me anything different." The young man was so astounded at this that he resigned his position within the army, and he went to put his mind exclusively upon God. When we put our mind upon God and serve him first, then he sees to it that everything is taken care of perfectly for us. In March of the year, when God gave me the injunction to leave my position where I was working at a mental health center, as well as the private practice that I had, I gave notice that I was going to leave in 3 months. God put me in such a state that I wasn't able to do the kind of paperwork that I'd been doing for many years. It was fairly simple kind of paperwork, but I would sit down and look at it, and it would look like complete Greek to me. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it. Day after day went by with this, and I grew further and further behind in my work. I went to my supervisor at that time and told them of my condition and that I wasn't able to do it for some reason. And so I had to go through some questions and answers where I was asked whether I was using drugs or not, that kind of thing. No, nothing such was the case. I was just so inebriated with God that I wasn't able to do this. The months slipped by, and I developed all kinds of strategies in order to do this work, in order to complete this. Nothing availed, nothing helped whatsoever. Finally, the last 3 days approached of my working there, I told God, I will not leave this work without having completed this. It's not right for me to do this. You must make it possible. My last 3 days, it was like a window came open. I looked at the paperwork. It made total sense to me. I worked from 7 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, completing all the paperwork I hadn't been able to do for months and months. And at the end of the third day, as I was finishing up, it was like a window was closing, and suddenly, with the last paper that I looked at it, and it all looked like Greek to me again. I couldn't have done it any more than if you'd taken a gun to my head and tried to force me to do it. But God had allowed me to do everything that was required in order for me to leave there in good conscience, to feel like I had done my job properly. When you put God first, God makes everything possible. Sometimes people are afraid of becoming taken up by God, by becoming intoxicated with God experience, because they're afraid that they won't be able to fulfill their duties, they won't be able to carry on. Each individual has their own course to God. I worked for 20 years with active Kundalini experiences going on. It was not always easy, but I was able to do it. There were times when I was a truck driver and I'd be unloading trucks, and suddenly a large surge of Kundalini would flow up through the spine and this bliss would fill me. And I'd have to reach for the side of the trailer just to steady myself so that it didn't knock me over. I'd take a little while, I'd breathe for a little while, and it would pass, and then I would be able to carry on my duties. In every circumstance, God provided for me and allowed me to complete my duties. And as I say, it was not always easy, but it was always possible. No two people's experiences are identical. There are certain hallmarks that come through our experiences in God that let us know that we are passing through one phase or another. But there is absolutely no reason to have any fear about what we may experience, about letting go of our own need to control our lives and to surrender it into God's infinite supply. Because He will see to it in every circumstance that we have all that is required in order for us to pass through those experiences and come out on the other side. Fear will come to you because fear is a part of our psychological makeup based on the past. But those are tests for us to overcome, to go through. And when we have our determination to keep our mind upon God, to serve all in God, then those fears are gone through, and when they are gone through, they are left behind forever. And they will never bother us again. We must understand that we have lived for a very, very long time. We have psychologically complex lives. And as a result, there are many tests that come to us. But We don't have to go into that complexity. We don't have to go into past lifetimes. There are times when past lifetimes will come to you spontaneously as a result of your meditation. And when they do, that memory is designed to help release you from some difficulty. And I've had many examples of that in my own sadhana. But we don't have to go searching out after them. We don't even have to go searching out about any fears. Anything that needs to be resolved will come to us. And so we don't have to search it out. All we have to do is put our mind on God and keep it there in total faith that in that light and in that power, we will have everything that we need. And if some fear comes into us, we need only hang on to God with absolute faith and determination of will. And let nothing else come between ourselves and our connection with the infinite. And if we do that, we will pass through the fears. We will pass through the angers. We will pass through every obstacle that comes to us that represents some separation from our connection with God. So persevere on without fear, without fail. Never let anything stand in your way, but always keep your mind riveted on the divine. And if you do that, you will purify the mind of all dross, of all oppositional forces. And once you have purified the mind of that, there is then no going back. There is nothing that can pull you back into the realm of duality. You will reside there in your oneness with God, in your oneness with peace, a peace so profound that you will not believe the power and the beauty and the wonder of it. We may get glimpses of peace, but there is a peace that exists right within us, all about us, that is beyond our comprehension. And its beauty, its unfailing power, is something to behold, something to behold. And it will sustain us in all experiences, at all times, in all places. We will not even want to sleep, because we will want to reside in that peace, in that presence. See if there's any questions about what I've spoken of this evening, or anything about your own sadhana. Might say that God has a feeling nature, and in that feeling nature he has ananda. Ananda, or that peace, or that bliss, is the joy that comes up within you. There's also within that feeling nature prem, and that prem is that tremendous divine love that flows through you. There's also Shanti, which is the peace of God. They are all God in equal amounts, but they are different variations of the same presence. And so that bliss, that joy, that prem, that love, that Shanti, that peace, will all have their distinctive kind of vibration inside of you. And yet, when you are immersed in that vibration, you will feel that you are equally connected with God in any one of those. I think it's one of the great wonders to me that the presence of God can come through so many manifestations, through so many variations. Sri Yukteswar said that Ananda is ever-changing, unending bliss, unending joy. Now the mind really has a hard time comprehending that. I know one of the obstacles that I've faced at different times is I've wondered, in the midst of experience of God, will this diminish? Will it grow commonplace? Now, if you get a wonderful view in your home, you look at it every day, but after a while you lose being transfixed by it and you just carry on your normal day. You might have a car that you dreamed of for so long finally, and you purchase that. And then after a while, it's just your car. It's the nature of things in the world to kind of wear thin after a while, our enjoyment of it. God is not like that. God has an ever new aspect of himself that we never tire of. And that peace comes to us in that same way. It never tires us. We never grow old with it. We never think, shouldn't there be some action? There's enough of peace. Because it's not just the absence of activity, it is a positive vibration in itself. And so that we can say that Ananda, Prem, and Shanti all are identical with God, but they're variations of his nature, and they are unending, continuously springing up in new beauty. We never tire of them. And we never cease to marvel that we never tire of them. Sometimes joy will just blend itself into a great sense of peace. And then out of that will come bubbles of laughter and mirth. And it's really quite amazing that we exist in a sea of mirth, as Master wrote about. We exist in a sea of joy, and we don't know it. We don't know it. But there's nothing inherent in us that keeps us separate from it. It is our past that we have created that idea of separation. We sustained it. And even in an unconscious way right now, we sustain that idea of separation. But our true nature is to be one with that. And so once we burst through that bubble of separation, we never have to return to it.
Pictures of my kids when they were little, some albums have come up, some old pictures, and so I'm scanning into the computer. And I think back on those times, and I can only remember the joy, especially when you see these pictures, you'll see why. But I know that I was going through a lot of difficult times. Mm-hmm. At that time, I wasn't enjoying it, mm-hmm. like I can now. Mm-hmm. It kind of comes clear to me as you're speaking that the reason is that was joy then, too. Uh-huh. And always we're thinking of the future and we're got our mind elsewhere. Yet the joy is right here, right now.
Yeah.
Always. Ever, as you say, ever changing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's true, too. Because the outer plate changes. Mm-hmm. This is the place where we have joy.
And once we discover God and discover that joy, it transforms our past.
It makes us see the past accurately, and if we think about it, we can project that into the present and the future.
Yeah. And it may be that we say, oh, that was a difficult time, or that was, but there's a sense of love, there's a sense of joy, there's a sense of compassion that goes, that weaves itself into our memories that we weren't conscious of at the time. So our entire life then becomes transformed with God's presence, and we don't even think of it as being some terrible kind of event in the way that we once did when we were living in that idea of separation. It's a marvelous alchemy that goes on with God consciousness, and suddenly you see other people's lives in exactly the same way. You see them living in separation, but you know that that joy is equally there. And particularly if they're striving to attain to that joy, to attain to God, you have great joy even in the moment in their struggle.
That Mother Kali that has a negative side, Kala, is, which is time, it is oppressive. But it isn't just time and waiting for time, but it's the way that we use time, the way that we look back and look forward. It is so important to live in the present. There is really only now.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite jokes is why did God create time in it so everything doesn't happen all at once? Because he enjoys his play. He wants to stretch it out a little bit, you know? Even in difficulties that we might go through, if we have that connection with the joy, then in real time, we can see it in better perspective and know it as joy. Versus when we live in separation, we don't know it as joy. We don't know it as joy. But later on, through the alchemy of God contact, that too becomes joy. You say, oh, I remember a time that I was so emotionally distraught and in such great pain. Now, the way that I see it is that that was a way to extract me out of the world. I was so focused upon the world, and I needed some powerful experience to extract me back out of it. Now, it was painful, and it was difficult. There's no doubt about it. But I see a different result coming from it now, whereas at the time I didn't have an end result. I only had that experience to measure it by, and it did not feel blissful at all. And so what at one time I thought of as a curse, now I see as a blessing. And you get people who are in the midst of experiences, and they only see those experiences as curses. It's a curse upon their life. But if they could see it in truth and in reality, they would see it as a blessing.
I was just looking at some old pictures also. One of them, a Max, when he was really small. And just his eyes are so bright and so much joy and at that time, when he was that age in the picture, I was going through a difficult time with my marriage and a lot of things. But when I look at that picture, all I see is the joy.
It's the joy. It's so interesting to me that you ask somebody, oh, how did your vacation go? Oh, we went on this rafting trip, and it was great. We almost drowned. You know, and then they go on to tell you the story of just this horrible event that probably they're scared to death in the midst of it. But that's the thing they tell you about. You know, they don't tell you, oh yeah, well I just kind of relaxed next to the pool and, you know, just had a great time soaking in the sun. They tell you about the adventure part of it. And I think that in this lifetime, it's just a small reflection of what we go through in our total of lifetimes, and it is the adventures, and it's going out in this field of separation. We've chosen that. we have these experiences, and then we come back. And when we come back, we see, oh, I didn't really go out and come back. I was always with God. And I have these adventures. I have all of these experiences that I've had along the way that I couldn't have had if I hadn't done that. And then, God forbid, maybe we choose to go into separation again. Because people choose to go on those kind of adventures again and again. But it's always our free choice. And when we want out of it, we can get out of it.
For some people, it seems like those adventures just close them down even more. They get more afraid of the seeming chaos of the world.
Yeah. And that itself is an adventure. It's an adventure in consciousness and exploring the depths that consciousness can go to, the pain that it can go to, the pain of separation, the pain of fear, all of those kind of things. And it seems to our rational mind, well, who would want to explore something that negative, that difficult? And yet, I've used the analogy sometimes of going from a multiplex theater, and you're in a theater watching a wonderful movie, and in this multiplex theater, you can hear the war sounds coming from the movie next door. And if you were to go to that movie theater and say, you know, I've got this lovely movie over here. It's very peaceful and sweet, and, you know, there's nice music going on. Get out of here. Get out of here. Quit disturbing our movie. No, no, come with me. There's a really nice movie over here. And if you persisted long enough, they'd throw you out of the theater. I want to finish my movie. And I think that's an apt description for how people are. You try to awaken people and say, you know, if you discovered spiritual consciousness and peace and joy that's available inside of you, nothing doing. I don't want that. You don't understand my misery. You don't understand my pain. You don't understand how difficult my life is, or, you know, whatever it is. But they're glued to their version of reality, and they're not willing to let it go. They don't want to. And actually, it's wrong of us to try to interfere too much with somebody's experience of reality. They want that experience. It seems crazy to us, but that's the way it is. People want out only as long as things are going not so good for them. And the minute the tide changes and things start going well for them, oh, okay, well, I'll get back in life again. Well, you can't have one without the other. The alternating waves are going to be there. So in our own lives, if we recognize this is just an alternating wave, this is the wave going out, and now it's going to come back in, I can just be at peace with this. I make better decisions. My intuition is more open when I'm at peace. I don't have to get disturbed by it. If things are taken away with me, all right. If things are given to me, all right. And on it goes. And on life goes. And so, but that vibration of peace, anytime you look for it, it resides right within you. And you have to let go of all that which is not peace. And then you yourself may say, but you don't understand my life. You don't understand how complicated it is. You don't understand how many stresses there are. And that's our attachment to it. That's our refusal to let it go. Stresses are always there, but peace is also equally there. And more powerfully if we would focus our mind upon it. So when you get up in the morning, think on peace. When you drive somewhere, think on peace. Let your mind dwell upon peace. Make that a focal point within you. And then operate out of that peace. And then you will have it as a constant companion in your life. And what a wonderful companion it is. So much better than fear.
much. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
Are radiant with Thy healing.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Shanti.
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 Shanti.